We kick off hour number two in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. It's Three and Out. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett. If you want to join us today, 865-546-8200 is the number for the phone lines. We go there now to Philly, who has held patiently through the break. Philly, good morning.
Morning, Houston.
How are you doing, buddy?
How are you and the Tom Brady fan doing and the other young man in there?
It's a struggle, Philly.
I've been on my best behavior, Philly.
I'll give him that. Well, actually has been.
I mean, Houston doing pretty good. You know, doing the backup role there. Pretty cool.
We do what we can, Phil.
Well, that's an interesting topic y'all talking about. Guys, I hope we're going to be good, but until it happens, I just, you know, and I'll jump on the bandwagon. I'm tired of getting up and get fired up, and then, you know, what happens.
Yeah, I asked Hickman the question, like, do you feel better now than you did a month ago since fall camp has started and you're kind of getting some reports? I think I'm with you, Philly. And it's not anything I've heard. I thought I would be more excited, and instead I think I'm filled with a small amount of dread because there is a little bit of hype around this team, and we've just been let down so many times. This isn't any knock on Josh Heupel or the guys on campus. I guess I'm just a little bit nervous myself.
I do believe they are. They've improved the culture over there. And
I do too.
That's good, but it all comes down to what you do on the football field. Because back in our heyday, we had more thuggery going on than just about anybody in America.
Yeah, it's true. It's called the Fulmer Cup for a reason.
Yeah, that's true. But got to have players, and we're still fanning some places on our football team.
Yeah, I think you're better off than you were last year, but there were just so many questions surrounding this team, and we now know, obviously, that they did kind of a scholarship reduction for last year in hopes of appeasing the NCAA ahead of, you know, whatever punishment they decide to hand down. I don't know what the exact number is as far as where they are in relationship to the 85, but you can look at the roster and feel pretty good about, you know, the starting 11 and in a lot of places the 2-deep, but there's still a lot of areas where you might have depth, but you don't have anything proven, or you have something proven and no depth. And, I mean, we know this year in and year out. Those teams at the top of college football, they stay healthy, and they've got depth when they need it. I mean, that's one of the reasons Georgia's defense was so good last year. I mean, they could essentially sub in a brand new 11 guys, and they didn't really drop off that much. And yeah. I just don't think we're there yet on really any position, offense or defense. At least not proven. At least not proven.
You really look at it, though, the only teams that got superior depth over other is Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. And the rest of them, you know, I think we could say we could be closer to that next bunch up there than those three teams right there because they're just kind of in the league all by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just the way those three schools have recruited over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and it's every year. And that's, you know, that's credit to them. You got to identify the players. You got to keep them in your program. But I guess depth did catch up to Alabama a little bit at the receiver position last year, but that, you know, they've reloaded. Ohio State, they've recruited so well for so long. And then Georgia, really since Kirby got there, especially on the defensive side of the ball, like there just doesn't seem to be that much of a drop-off. And, you know, then there's going to be a guy you've never really heard of, and he's going to be the next superstar at, you know, linebacker or defensive end. And that's a credit to what Kirby Smart's done. But we definitely need to get to that point where you don't know who it's going to be, but you can almost expect somebody to step up every single year at key positions. And it's just year two, so I'm not saying Heupel can't do it, but I still don't think we're there yet.
No, we're not there yet, but 8-4, 9-3 would be a good season, looking at realistically on the situation.
I don't know if I'd take 8-4 right now, but I would not be disappointed with 8-4. I do think this team can go 9-3. I think they have to stay healthy, and some of these young players that are getting some pop in the fall camp write-ups, they need to have big years. And I again, this is true of every college football team, but if this team can stay relatively healthy, you know, I think 8-4 is very easy based on the schedule.
Yeah. If they go 8-4 and beat either Florida or Pitt, though, then it's still a successful season, because you got to beat one. You got really, you need to beat both of them, but yeah, you got to at least get it worse, get a split with Pitt and Florida.
Yeah, Hickman, what was your take? Like, if you beat Pitt, you're probably going to go at least 7-5, and if you beat Florida and Pitt, 8-4 is the floor at that point.
I mean,
if you start 4-0,
if you beat Florida and Pitt, to me, the only games you should lose are LSU, Alabama, and Georgia after that.
Yeah. So if you start 4-0, 9-3 seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
You just got to take a step forward.
Yeah. And we didn't do too well in close games last year, so hopefully they can rectify that. Of course, a lot of that's the defense is on the field the whole game.
And depth killed you last year in close games, too, down the stretch.
Yeah.
We scored too fast, too.
Yeah.
We scored a lot of points, but we had people hurt on that, too, that killed us. The center position, the tackle position, and running backs were banged up.
Yeah, running back was a rotating door last year. I mean, every game you weren't sure who the top two or three guys were going to be.
I think you like our top three guys if we're all on the same page with that. Like
last year or this year?
This year, going into this year with Jabari Small. Yeah, Samson's making noise.
Healthy. They can say
Lin-J,
healthy.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the running back when it's third or fourth and one going to get the ball and get it?
Yeah, that's the question I've had too. When you got to have, you know, when there's 8-9 guys in the box and you got to have a yard, I don't have a problem with how he recruits running backs. They're a little bit slighter guys, right? You know, 5'10", 5'11". I think Justin Williams Thomas is 2'10" or 2'15". But, yeah, we got to have somebody who can pick up a tough yard or two when you got to convert on third down or even fourth down. Like, that hurt you last year.
You sneak Milton in?
I could.
QB power. QB power, something like that.
He don't have good body lean on it when he just got the ball.
Yeah, I said that last year. He doesn't run like a guy who's 6'4", 245.
Knock, you're scared to get hit.
If you can pick up that fourth down against Pitt, you probably win the game. Jalen Wright gets hit in the backfield. That was also a missed block by the tight end. But those are things like in year two, can we clean that up? And maybe it doesn't matter who the running back is. But, yeah, I don't know. Because I like the backs because they're versatile, but I don't think you have that true power guy who you can just, you know, hand him off tackle, and he'll pick up 2 or 3 yards regardless of what the box looks like.
Is Hetman going to talk about the preseason basketball I heard earlier in the show? What was that he talking about?
ESPN dropped their way too early top 25, and Tennessee came in 12th.
Huh.
And I don't know. I don't feel – I just don't know. This obviously, you returned 4 of your top 5 scorers, but with so many newcomers to this year's team, I'm kind of I don't know what to expect yet. This is definitely one of those teams you're going to have to watch them play a few times. Like I'm surprised to see them as high as 12, personally.
You should compete for the SEC again. I would think top 4
in the league.
Yeah, I mean every year with Rick Barnes, you're probably going to be top 3, top 4. You're going to be battling it out with the Kentuckys, the Auburns, the Arkansas. Those are your 4 best teams right now in the conference. And it's going to be that way moving forward. My big concern is just looking at recruiting for the future. We've been missing out on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to continue tomorrow, Philly.
Well, Colin Collins is going to Michigan State, but there's still hope for that Australia, the big guy from
Philly, I looking at his recruiting profile right now, and he's got a couple crystal balls for Iowa.
Well, I don't know if I believe that.
I hope you're right. I mean,
I'm not pressing the panic button, but it has been a pretty trying last month and a half or so.
Well, the thing is, they're all committed, right? They're not signed.
Yeah,
but
with NIL, it seems like you're much less likely to flip a guy, because they're having to sign paperwork for the school they go to if they're getting NIL. And I'm assuming if they're committing this early to schools, like, because Michigan State, if they get Cohen Carr, they're on a little bit of a recruiting roll.
Hot streak there. And
Kentucky has been for a while now, too.
and you look at it, you go against Kentucky head-to-head for a player, I understand losing it, but getting out-recruited by Iowa is kind of scratching your head a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, like Michigan State, I somewhat understand. Obviously, yeah, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, but
they're blue bloods.
Right, but Iowa? Yeah, like I'm scratching my head a little bit on Iowa.
Well, we were talking about Cohen Carr. He has that little bit of a Draymond Green look in him.
Yeah, he's perfect for Michigan State.
Perfect for Michigan State.
Yeah.
Right now, some of your guys you're trying to close on, I guess you could say, for the 2023 class are, you got Cody Williams. He's a four-star, 6'8", 180-pound small forward from Arizona, 38th nationally in the country. Australia, Cohen Carr. You got Cade Phillips, obviously. Freddie Dion.
Cade Phillips is our only commit, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got a lot of four-stars on the board here, but can you close? That's the question.
Yeah, and the Demery kid visited. Hopefully, they can get him. He's a guard out of Charlotte, North Carolina. I think he went to Adu's high school. I think Liberty Heights. I think it's the name of the high school. But they seem like they struggle a little bit. Got that NIL a little bit more, you know.
That has to be it, right, Phil?
They like Julian Phillips, though. Nobody thought he was going to get Julian Phillips.
That's true.
But he's going to go to Buck Pearl.
Does it feel like NIL is biting us a little bit? Because it felt like for two or three years there, Barnes was, every single class, it's, this guy's one of the top three players ever to sign at Tennessee. And now I'm not knocking Cade Phillips, but to only have one guy committed when you're going to lose, we're going to lose, at least five or six off this year's team?
Yeah. If you count Julian Phillips, he'll probably leave and be a one-and-done.
Yeah, he could be a one-and-done. And Hickman was saying it, maybe Barnes has a bunch of transfers that he feels good about lined up, but I don't know how he would have that knowledge right now as guys are, starting their summer workouts at other schools.
Well, it's going to force Barnes to get a bunch of transfers that'll get what they want on the high school recruiting circuit.
Yeah.
He could take a flyer on Zakai's brother. He's a 6'4 guard down in New York.
They're recruiting him.
Yeah. Arnami Ziegler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks pretty. I mean, he's not getting recruited by a soul.
Now, the one guy that we're recruiting that I would absolutely want over anybody else, this is just for my own personal bias, is Andre Stojakovic, son of...
That's Peja's son?
Yeah. Peja Stojakovic.
He's going to UCLA.
Yeah, he's a lock there, pretty much.
Hickman, every time you put us on commit watch, they commit elsewhere. Are you bad luck?
That's what happens when you're a Tom Brady fan.
See, see you, Philly. Thanks for the phone call. We'll hit a quick break and come back, break down this ESPN... way too early, top 25 for men's college basketball, 22-23. They have projecting starting lineups for Tennessee in here. I found that kind of interesting. We'll tell you where Tennessee ranks, not only nationally, but amongst SEC teams. We'll do that on the flip side. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Hour two continues. Taking a look now at ESPN's way too early top 25. We mentioned that Tennessee came in 12th. A little surprised by that. Where would you think Tennessee falls amongst SEC teams?
Top three.
They are third.
I think we're probably
above. They're third.
Kentucky.
Kentucky comes in at four.
Whoa.
Fourth nationally, number one in the SEC. And let's see.
Arkansas one.
Arkansas's at nine.
Oh, I was thinking like rankings in the SEC. You're talking about where they're ranked in the top 25.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Kentucky's top in the SEC, but they're fourth nationally. Arkansas is second in the SEC. Ninth nationally, they were previously 10th, and Tennessee comes in third in the SEC, but 12th overall. The number one team in the country, according to ESPN, North Carolina. Gonzaga at two. The Houston Cougars at three. Kentucky four. Duke at five. Good luck to John Shire. as he takes over for Coach K. I guess you have to call him a legend, even if you don't like him, like myself. Kansas at 6. Creighton Blue Jays come in at 7. Baylor, 8. I mentioned Arkansas at 9. UCLA at 10. Texas Longhorns at 11, Tennessee 12. The rest of your top 25, Auburn at 13, Villanova 14, Indiana 15, Arizona 16, TCU 17. That's kind of a surprise. Virginia comes in at 18th. 19 is Oregon, 20 Alabama. I thought I had seen Alabama in the top 10 in a few preseason polls. I did not expect to see them at 20th. UConn at 21. Dayton, the Flyers come in at 22. San Diego State, 23. Texas Tech, 24. And rounding out the top 25 is Illinois. The biggest surprise when talking about Tennessee, and I'm sure this will get discussed as the season nears, they give the projected starting five, and Zakai Ziegler makes the top five. Is that a surprise?
It's not a surprise. I get it.
Do we think he starts?
No. I think he and Rick Barnes both like him coming off the bench, being that spark plug role if need be. I personally think B.J. Edwards, Vescovy, Phillips, James, Kumwa. That's just how I'd roll with it.
You had it right outside of B.J. Edwards. I mean, it's Santiago Vescovy, Julian Phillips, Josiah Jordan-James, Olivier Kumwa. They just obviously have Ziegler instead of B.J. Edwards.
Did I see where Olivier's doing pretty well in some basketball competition?
Yeah, it sounds like
Finland.
He's playing pretty well. I haven't seen the stats, but no. I keep seeing reports that he's looking the part.
Yeah, that's good to hear after his ankle.
Here's the write-up for Tennessee. It will be interesting to see if Rick Barnes goes away from the two big lineups this season. The addition of five-star recruit Julian Phillips gives Tennessee another versatile wing forward option to go along Josiah Jordan-James. And with Zakai Ziegler likely to run the show next to first-team All-SEC returnee Santiago Vescovy, Barnes is going to want his four best players on the floor for the majority of the game. It's likely he opts for more of what he did in 2021 with 6'6 Eve Pons on the front court next to James and only one big. That should leave a lesser role for 7-footer Uros Plavšić. Okay, Hickman, let's not celebrate that. I mean, he's still a great teammate.
He is.
While also putting more on the plate of Olivier Kumwa, who started 22 games before a left ankle injury sidelined him for the rest of the season, the Finland native had 15 points against both Texas A&M and Alabama and was a good defensive rebounder and interior defender. I don't disagree with any of that, but I do think it'll probably be B.J. Edwards starting at the point guard, and then they'll just rotate in Zakai off the bench.
I agree.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. And if it's not working, you can try Zakai off the start.
Sure. Yeah, you know? But especially early, I mean, you're going to have a couple games in there. I think it would be smart to get B.J. Edwards as far along as you can, mm-hmm. but you might also give him a quick hook knowing that Zakai can go in and run the show.
Yeah, or you try Tyreek Key at the point, right?
Yeah.
In the state he played there, right?
There's
going to
be a lot of rotation.
We got some moving parts between
season.
those 1, 2, and 3 positions.
Yeah.
The drop-off from Chandler to B.J. Edwards is not going to be as big as people think it is. I've seen the kid play quite a bit live in high school against really good competition, national competition. The kid can play.
I think with this lineup, you're getting up and down the floor. Like, Josiah gets a rebound, boom, he's gone. Julian Phillips, boom, he's gone. And just Phil Lane's.
Vescovy finds the
open Especially if you
spot.
Have Olivier at the five. I mean, you're going to beat bigger guys down the court. Maybe we play a little faster.
I feel like we've said that for years. Like, we've had teams that are built to run, and they just don't do it. This team feels built to run.
It's hard for Vescovy to, once it's in the half court, to really find his shot and get open.
Well, he just has to work so hard to do it.
And that's why you need another guy. Where, you know, on the perimeter, maybe that's knocking down shots, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we feel comfortable with him because we saw shooting against, the three anytime he has it.
I mean, nobody was hitting, but you were hoping Vescovy would at least be your upperclassman making some shots against Michigan in the tourney.
Yeah, he looked like he was hobbled or something. He didn't look like he was moving very well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he tweaked an ankle or I know he had the hip pointer the year before. But against Michigan, he just didn't look like he was moving nearly as well.
Crazy, because 2 days before, how many threes did he hit?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, the team hit double digits against...
We shot ourselves in the...
Yeah.
We should have saved some, but it's easy to say now, but...
12, look, maybe they're that good. I have no idea, but 12 seems high. But again, that's because I don't know enough about Julian Phillips, B.J. Edwards. Like, I'm just going to have to... Tyreek Key, I'm going to have to see
these
guys.
There are a lot of questions, you know, but obviously other teams do, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, after Gonzaga and North Carolina, I really don't know what NCAA basketball is going to look like this year.
No.
Villanova is going to be fun to keep an eye on to see how they rebound.
Yeah, they don't have their coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Wright's gone.
Yep, he left.
Stepped in kind early of. Retirement.
Texas is getting a lot of hype.
It's Texas. They kind of always do, but.
The Creighton Blue Jays.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
There's a dark horse right there. They did get Baylor Sherman.
You love that guy.
From South Dakota State.
Did you just say dark horse for Creighton? I mean, they're preseason seventh. I don't know if I'd count them as a dark horse if they're preseason seven.
I mean, you talk about a team that will be fun to watch. Gosh, I would have. Oh my gosh, I would have renamed the city of Knoxville to whatever the hell Baylor Sherman wanted it to be called to get this kid in Knoxville.
You're that high on Baylor Sherman?
He's like a 52% three-point shooter for his career.
Who was the kid from Kansas State that we were after?
Oh, the kid that he went to Miami? Peak?
Yeah, Miami.
Was it Peak was his last
he was
name?
Another,
Pack.
He,
Pack.
Nigel Pack.
Nigel Pack. Nigel yeah, he Pack. Was, he yeah. was close to 50% from three this last year, too. You're starting to get nervous? Rick Barnes missing on the transfer portal and recruiting? Huh?
No, we'll be fine.
Okay.
Be fine for this year at least.
Yeah, worry about next.
I'll tell you who we need to go all in on. I would promise Taven Jackson a starting job next year if that meant we could get his brother to come on down to Knoxville. His brother averaged like 18 and 12 last year at Indiana.
Yeah, I watched him. Wow. He dominated Syracuse.
Oh, he's
in
incredible.
He had really good.
It was against somebody small. It might have been Charlotte. I know it was just a small school that I believe it was Green, but he had like 46 points and 18 rebounds.
No, he's really good. And he plays down low the way you want guys to play.
Yeah,
down low. He's a beast.
Old school big.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
Cautiously optimistic, but nervous about basketball this year.
Elite Eight or bust.
Elite Eight or bust.
Like at some point when you fall
We're preseason 12 and we have to make the Elite Eight or bust.
At some point when you constantly fall short of your postseason goals and expectations, you're going to have to just do something big for me to give a crap about it.
So you're excited about it, but you don't give a crap.
Well, I mean, it'll be a fun regular season. That's one thing you can guarantee with Rick Barnes. But will we be let down in the postseason? Probably. If I was to bet, I'd probably say we're going to lose in the round of 32.
We haven't played a game, but are we better roster-wise this year compared to last year? I don't see how. Obviously, you lost Chandler, but, I mean...
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying I don't look at this roster and say, much better.
I think we have more versatility this year than we did last year.
I'd agree with that. You've got more options as far as, like, if you've won a small ball,
you can do
that. And
I think he realizes Josiah needs to be at the four.
Hopefully. Yeah, I mean, we were at our best last year when he was at the four. We'll take a quick break, come back, get right to the phone lines. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. We go straight to the phone lines, first to T-Carp, who has held patiently. T-Carp, good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Lord, I don't even know where I am at the moment, buddy.
It's okay. It happens.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's right. Switching gears back to football, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Kind of piggybacking off of Philly's call, I kind of agree with him, man. 8-4 is a really good season. I know... like it kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth, but we're expecting them to beat Pitt. Like that, me expecting them to beat Pitt, lose to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. Is that, would you hate that season?
I would not hate that season. Losing to Florida this year would be painful.
Right.
Just because
I guess my
I mean, obviously, first year coach down there, and I think Anthony Richardson's dangerous enough to scare just about anyone they play, but their depth issues are significant. I was reading some articles. There's one on Saturday Down South talking about, I think they had 34 players leave the team from last year. They have two players on all SEC first or second team. And basically, once you get past the starter at every position, their depth is among the worst in the SEC. Now, that said, it's Florida. So
right.
You never, if you're a Tennessee fan, you rarely, if ever, feel confident going into that game. But it feels like if you don't beat them this year, I mean, you didn't beat them last year and they ended up having just an abysmal season. This is a year you got to kind of take advantage of where you're positioned compared to them and hopefully knock them off at home.
If you have $25, do you put it on Tennessee or Florida?
Straight up.
Tennessee.
I'm probably going to put it on Florida. That way, if we win, I lose 25 bucks and don't care. And if we lose, I make a little bit of money at least. Yeah.
I totally get that.
The emotional hedge, they call it.
So yeah, exactly. So on a serious note then, so we were looking through the season. You got Pitt. You beat Pitt, you beat Florida, and then you're going into that Alabama game, mm-hmm. basically what? 4-0 or 5-0? I can't remember.
You'd be 4-1 or 5-0 because you get LSU the week before Bama.
Oh, you get okay.
But you get a bye week. You get a bye week before traveling to LSU, which is beneficial.
So if you have a rock star season, you know, if you beat Pitt, if you beat Florida, and you beat LSU at LSU with, and they've got a brand new coach this year too. They've got Brian Kelly, right?
Yep, new coach, and they don't know who their quarterback's going to be yet.
So let's put the orange colored glasses on. You go down there. And that Alabama game is one for, you know, it's going to be hyped up like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, if Tennessee's 5-0 hosting Alabama, safe to say that's CBS 330, one of the biggest games of the week nationally. And
the biggest game in Tennessee football the last half decade?
I don't know how far you'd have to go back. Because, you know, in 2016, the Georgia game was big. I mean, the Florida game was big. Then the Georgia game was big. Then the A&M game was big, but it was on the road. And then after you lost to A&M, the Bama game kind of lost some of its luster. But
Tennessee will be top 15.
If they're 5-0, you're probably a top 10 team at that point. Because you would have beaten, I mean, Pitt's ranked. If you beat Florida, I know they're not ranked right now, but it's still, you know, Florida. And then if you go to LSU, it also kind of depends on what these other teams do to start the season. You know, if Florida loses to Kentucky and Utah, obviously that game's not going to carry as much weight if you win it. If Pitt were to lose to West Virginia in week one, I don't think they will, but if they did, that game doesn't carry as much. And then LSU, they're kind of a wild card because it's going to be a completely new system offensively and defensively. But if they have a good start, then that game on the road is going to carry a lot of weight. There's a way you're 5-0, and it's not very impressive. I find it hard to believe, though, that you wouldn't be, a top 15 team if you're 5-0, just because of the name value of the teams you would have beat. I mean, Pitt's the defending ACC champ. Florida football's Florida football. LSU's only 2 years removed from a national championship. Even if those teams have started poorly, if you beat them all, you're going to have some credit thrown on your name, whether you deserve it or not.
Absolutely. I've never been a big buyer of Brian Kelly. I don't buy him. I don't think he's that good of a coach. I think he's, I don't know, I just think he's all flash. Am I crazy to think that?
I don't think he's flash. I think he's kind of boring good. He's going to get he's going to have a good defense. He's going to be, his teams aren't going to beat themselves. They're going to be pretty fundamentally sound. But that was his problem at Notre Dame, is he never had the top-tier talent. So when he would go up against, you know, the Alabamas and the Clemsons, they'd get just absolutely shelled. The question I have for Brian Kelly is if he can carry over the fundamental don't-beat-yourself type of football at LSU, but he's also then able to get the talent that LSU is typically able to get, especially if they have a competent coach, I think he could prove to be better than we think he is now. But I'm with you. I'm still not quite sold on Brian Kelly. I may eat those words in a year or two. But
right.
he doesn't do anything amazingly well except run his program like a machine. And for some places, that can pay off. I don't know if it's a great fit at LSU, but if he proves me wrong and can recruit like Les Miles did, like Ed Orgeron did, and obviously it's all about finding a quarterback. I think that was one of his problems at Notre Dame. He never found that game changer at quarterback. If he can get that at LSU, I mean, the last two or three, I think it's the last three coaches at LSU have won a national championship. That includes Ed Orgeron with the best offense we've ever seen. To say Brian Kelly could not win a national championship at LSU, I think would be foolish. He doesn't excite me, but I do think he's a solid coach.
Okay, I can buy that. I guess it's just hard for me to buy the fact that Notre Dame doesn't get top-tier talent because, in my opinion, when I look at the rankings, I see all these five stars going there. It may just be my ignorance to recruiting.
Well, Notre Dame's going to recruit well. I mean, that's a national brand. But since Brian Kelly has left, Marcus Freeman is currently sitting on the number one class in the country. They have more commits than anybody in the country. They've got a few five stars, a bunch of four stars. It's actually kind of an interesting litmus test. A first time head coach in Marcus Freeman. Now, he was on staff there, and all the players loved him. But he's recruiting right now better than Brian Kelly ever did. And if Brian Kelly gets to LSU and struggles to recruit, it's going to be trouble. Because that's one thing LSU's always had. If you had a competent coach, you were going to have recruits and you were going to win a lot of football games. If for whatever reason he gets down there, and that's why I said I don't like the fit. I don't know that his personality fits the state of Louisiana and specifically LSU, like the way Ed Orgeron did. If he gets down there and struggles to recruit, it's going to be an interesting tenure for him on the Bayou. Because those fans are used to at least having a roster full of studs. Even if they're coached a little better under Brian Kelly, if it's not a roster full of five stars, I'd say the natives will get a little restless in a hurry.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. With that breakdown, that makes me feel like you almost have to win those two games. Like, you've got a better team than both of those guys, in my opinion, from what you just told me in the last 10 minutes. So we'll see what happens, guys. Love y'all. Y'all have a good one.
Be good, T-Cart. Yeah, I think LSU talent-wise is in a decent spot. They didn't lose.
They're more talented than we are.
You talking about like rankings, like the team composite and all that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's LSU. They're always going to be talented. The question I have for LSU this year is, can they find a quarterback? Because when LSU historically finds a quarterback, they're really dangerous. But it is year one under Brian Kelly, and I'm still worried about the personality fit with Brian Kelly, who is he's a screamer, he's a disciplinarian, and not like the I'm going to suspend a guy if he makes a mistake, but like screaming at players on the sidelines. Like he coaches hard, and that's going to be a big jump from the personality of Ed Orgeron, who also coached hard, but it's just a different vibe, I think, between those two coaches, and it's going to be a big culture change, maybe for good, maybe for the worse.
If Jaden Daniels is starting by the time we make that trip, it's going to be
either freshman four-star.
I think he's a sophomore. He's a transfer from Arizona State.
Okay, that's right. That's the guy Nate really likes.
Yeah, 24/7 has him. Playmaking ability, 10 out of 10. Intangibles, 9. Pocket presence, 9. Accuracy, 9. Arm strength, 9. Speed, 9. Delivery, 8. Size, 7.
So he's like the perfect quarterback?
I mean, he's a really good quarterback with all the things that make a great quarterback. Can he make the jump?
Let's hope not. Matt, DR, hang on. We'll get you on the other side. You're listening to 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Straight back to the busy, busy phone lines. We have Matt up next. Matt, good morning, sir. Matt, you there? We'll try again later on Matt, perhaps.
Matt, hang up and call back. The phone has been having this issue where sometimes it kind of like sticks.
What did you do to the phone back?
I didn't do anything.
The phone is sticky? Did you spill something on the phone?
No. Is Matt back?
Let's try DR then. Matt, hang up, call back. Hickman must have spilled something sticky on the phone.
Never.
It's okay if you did. All right, well, we'll try again later, I guess. Perhaps. Let's see here. LSU, a little bit nervous. Again, once again, nothing. No one knows what to expect from those guys. Same with Pitt, same with Florida. I think that's what makes Tennessee's start to the season so difficult to predict, is the teams that you're facing early have so many question marks just like you do. But I don't know what the double clap, double. Okay, go try Matt again. Matt, are you there, buddy?
You got me.
Yeah, finally. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with monkeys in a spaceship right now.
That's fine. You could have squeezed DR in there. I could have held.
It'll happen eventually. But we got you now, loud and clear. What you got for me?
Right up this morning, man. Philly T Carp, great. DR Vol.
Nate leaves town, and all the famous
Nate's
people want to call
in. Yeah, piss on Nate, man. We don't need him. I'm just kidding, Nate. If you're listening.
Oh, he's not listening. He doesn't care.
No, he's not. Hey, real quick, man, I agree a little bit with Philly and T-Carp, but also disagree quite a bit. I don't think 8-4, I don't think they're saying that's acceptable, but I just don't, there's no way 8-4 can be looked at in my book as an okay season.
I think it depends on how you get there, right?
I don't even think it's that, dude. I mean, because we were 15 points, literally, I think, might have been 16 points last year from winning 9 games. So, you know, we should have won 8 games in the regular season. And yep, we're, 10 points from doing that. We dropped the ball, a couple of blown calls, and there you go. And then we definitely should have won the bowl game, but we didn't, but whatever.
Yeah.
But there's no – the Florida game this year is – there's no – unacceptable. There is absolutely no way you can lose that game. You can't lose to a first-year Billy Napier, Bush Jones lookalike. There's no way, man. We're way more talented than them this year, and they're playing on our turf. So, this team has got to win 9 games if we're going to take a big step forward, because next year your schedule sets up against you. And, you know, if you win 8 games this season, you can't go out there next year and say you're expecting 9 or 10 wins, because that's going to be really tough next year.
I agree. Like, the Florida game is super important. And I'm not trying to make excuses for them if they were to lose it. I just don't know enough about Florida. You know, it's weird. If you play them early 2 years ago, or maybe it was 2020, like if you play them early that year, they hadn't quite figured it out yet, and you might have won that game, but you ended up playing them in the last game or second-to-last game of the season, whereas last year you played them early, and they got worse as the season went on. Like, it seems like Tennessee can never catch Florida at the right time. Like, they either beat us and start to trail off, or, you know, they're good out of the gate, whatever. I don't know enough about this Florida team. And that's my problem with Pitt and LSU, as I was saying. There's so many unknowns, especially at quarterback for some of these schools. Like, Pitt knows it's going to be Slovis. Is he going to be good? I have no idea. Florida seems to know it's going to be
good.
They're a good team, and that's a good defense.
Yeah, good.
But we should have beat them by 21 last year.
We should have, but I'll be honest, this might sound weird. I don't care to lose to Pitt this year. That's a good team, man. That Pitt team is a damn good football team. I think you can still win 9 games and lose to Pitt. That's where I look at it. I think Tennessee is a much – I don't know if we're as good as Pitt, because that's a stout team that's coming back from Pittsburgh. But we are better than Florida. I think we're better than Kentucky, and I think we're better than LSU. So – you know, we've got to start winning these SEC games, and especially against teams that we're better than. And I know we're better than Florida. Like, we're a better football team this year than they are. Plus, they're under a first-year coach. We've got a senior-laden quarterback that knows that's in his second year in the offense. I mean, we ought to seriously run them by 14 to 21 points.
That's what Hickman predicted. He predicted 14. A 14-point win.
And I think we will, too. I agree with Hickman. I think that's going to happen. But you know, if we come out here and roll out 8 wins this season and we got a loss to Florida, I mean, guys, that's just, for me, that's just, that's par for the course. And this coach, you know, I ain't going to be calling for his head to get fired or anything, for sure. But I'll 100% do not think he'll be able to get it done. We've got to get past the days of we have to have a coach that can come in here in year two and exceed expectations. That's the only way these programs springboard themselves into top 10 programs again. Butch Jones didn't do it. Pruitt definitely didn't do it. And all the other numbnuts we have haven't done it. This guy has an opportunity this year to beat Florida here, set the stage, and get a 9-win season and really propel Tennessee with that momentum into what Tennessee football should be. And that's a top 10 football program. So I'll hang up, man. Give DR in here. But love y'all. I'll call y'all tomorrow.
All right, Matt. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And we'll say goodbye to Matt and welcome in DR Vol on this Monday morning. DR, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Y'all know why there's more callers this morning, don't you?
Why is that?
Nate's not on, so we know who we're talking to.
Okay, that was a little rude. Firm but fair.
You know, when I first started listening to the show, I really did think y'all sound alike. But now that I've been listening for a few years, I don't really know how I thought y'all sounded alike, if that makes sense.
Cress is a lot sheepier.
What the hell? He's talking about vocal tones, you idiot.
Oh, well, that's how I used to tell you guys apart.
Well, that's how we tell a regular listener from a, you know, Johnny Come Lately. If they think we sound alike, we know that they're not long time.
Yeah, yeah. They're not veterans like us. You know, and Hickman calling you sheepy, Houston's why I'm calling. In hour one, did you say after practice reports you felt worse about it or something like that?
Like, I don't necessarily feel worse about the team. I guess I just want to feel better. Does that make sense? It's only been a week. Like, there's not going to be some bombshell report of, oh my God, Hendon Hooker's, he's 10 times faster and is strong. Like, there's nothing that's going to make me feel that much better. But I guess because I don't feel that much better, it's battered Vol syndrome. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, okay, what's going wrong here? Like, is the secondary going to stink? Are the, you know, receivers behind Tillman not going to step up? But again, it's been a week.
You know, that is perfect way to describe me, Houston. Like, I feel like I should be more excited as we go into it. But me, you know, some people merely adopted the dark. I was born into it. If I hear the receivers look good, I think, oh God, our DBs suck.
Exactly.
Like, I'm never going to pull anything positive about it. That's just my mindset. I'm, like you said, battered ball syndrome. And you got to beat Pitt if you're going to have a 9-win season. I see what Matt's getting at. Pitt's a good team, but I don't see us getting 9 wins starting a L off to Pitt.
I don't think they're that much better than us.
I don't either.
I don't know that they are better than us. I mean, they lost their best receiver. They lost a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback for Pitt. Now, their defense is going to be very good. But, again, I mean, if you hit some of those deep balls and some calls go your way as opposed to completely against you, you probably win that game last year. I mean, there was a chance in that game that you absolutely blow them all the way up.
21-0 before they could blink.
Right, yeah. I mean, you still had a big lead, and then they scored, what, 24 in the second quarter? You had a kick six called back. I mean, it was right there for Tennessee, and that was before we even really kind of got things ironed in as far as the offense. So again, if you gave me one or the other, I'm going to take Florida because it's a league game, and that's going to be a great environment. But I think this team can beat Pitt, probably should beat Pitt, and I think they can and probably should beat Florida. Am I going to predict both? I have no idea. I really want to watch Florida against Utah. I want to watch them against Kentucky. And luckily, Pitt goes up in a rivalry game week one against West Virginia. So we're going to get to see Pitt and Florida and really LSU too. Like, we're going to get to see them all play some meaningful games before we play them. And I think that could benefit Tennessee. Like, Pitt's not going to be able to hold much back, at least early, against West Virginia. And Florida, if they're as thin as everyone is, you know, saying that they are, they're not going to be able to just roll their helmets out against Utah and Kentucky and win and come in here with a bunch of stuff up their sleeve. So that's a very good thing. I think the schedule sets up pretty well for Tennessee. It's just a matter of, can we kind of start clicking on offense right out of the gate like we were kind of towards the back half of the season last year? And, you know, defensively, can they take a little bit of a step forward? I don't think they have to be elite on defense, but they got to be better.
So if I'm picking up what you're putting down, Houston, are you kind of saying like Pitt is in that category of Florida and LSU if you really don't know what to expect this season?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same. Well, guys, I'm in with this. As far as the Florida game goes, I'm going to say what I told my ex-wife about a month after I divorced her. I have no expectations, therefore I would not be disappointed. So I'm going to leave it at that, the Florida game. I think we should win, but I don't expect us to.
38-24. Go ahead and write it down. Vols win.
Words to live by and a fearless prediction from Adam Hickman. We will kick off hour three of Three and Out after this.